your source for all things Texas Tech. This is the Ask Level Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's happening? Welcome into another episode of the Ask Level Podcast. This podcast, as usual, brought to you by our friends at Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
With Chris Level, I'm Choice Woodman. Christopher, how are we this week?
Wonderful. I hope that all the mothers out there had a wonderful Mother's Day and were treated kindly as they should be all day. So tried to spoil my wife just a little bit yesterday and over the weekend, and got a chance to talk to my mom. So anyway, but Red Raider baseballers got some good news because they didn't play. Red Raider softballers got some bad news. Seems like they got hosed a bit. I will admittedly tell you, I don't follow the softball selections too closely, but it sounded like a lot of people felt like they got kind of hosed a bit. And Coach Kitley's group, I guess, dealt with some weather, but second place finish on the men's side anyway. So anyway, and then we're still portaling. We're still adding. Had we talked about Jackson Hughes on the last podcast that we did this?
No, I don't believe we have.
That's a new one. Okay, so I want to make sure that we will cover that. And
got a new coach on your basketball staff?
Appears so. Not official yet.
Not official.
Time that you and I are talking, right. But I would say there's a million arrows pointing in that direction.
I mean, he's tweeted something. Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, appreciate it. University of Wyoming, who you're talking about is Jeff Linder.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, University of Wyoming. They've already hired a new coach named, hold on. His name is the best basketball name you have ever heard of. Are you aware of this?
No, I hadn't seen it.
Oh, yeah. This is like, it's totally. Yeah. Are you ready for this? You're going to think I'm making this up, dude.
I'm ready. Let's go.
I swear to you that you're going to think I'm making it, but if you Google it, you're going to see that I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
His name is Sundance Wicks.
Sundance Wicks.
Yes.
That sounds more like he was sort of horse name than a person.
Yeah, I know.
Or like a film festival.
Should be running in the Kentucky Derby. Or yeah, we're making music. The Sundance Wicks Music Festival. Yeah.
Sundance Wicks. That's a real person.
Yeah,
wow.
But he was an assistant for Coach Linder in Wyoming a few years ago. And so they've brought him back. And he's now the new head coach. And so, yeah, so I think it all obviously points to Jeff Linder being Grant McCaslin's lead assistant coach. And that is a heck of a hire.
Yeah. It appears accounts, so.
Yeah. Head coach. Above 500 over 4 years at Wyoming, led him to the tournament 2 years ago, and known Grant for 20 plus years, if not longer. They worked together 20 plus years ago, I should say.
Yeah.
And have known each other for longer. At Midland College. Yep. Yeah. The roots run deep, man.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I have discussed this a little bit. I can't remember if we talked about it on the radio when you're with me or if it was on this podcast a few weeks ago, but we may see more of this in college basketball where coaches at the mid-major level.
We've talked about this on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's these guys may just be tired of the full roster turnover every time. And Linder can fall right into that category where he'd rather go be an assistant.
I think when you're somewhere at a mid-major now, NIL factors in or lack thereof.
Yep.
The portal factors in. And sometimes you just throw your hands up and be like, I can't keep doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no job security because I lose my team. If I have anybody on my roster that's any good, they're gone. We don't have enough support here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when you factor in that Grant's going to get a new contract – And I think part of what he fought for was more money for his assistant coaches. It allowed him to pay somebody like Jeff Linder substantially, and I think actually match or a bit more than what he was making as a head coach, which is a pretty good chunk.
Yeah.
That, and then you've got all of a sudden, like, you can come back to West Texas. You've got lots of job security. You have a lot of support around you. And yeah, you're not ultimately in charge, but working for somebody like Grant, I would think would be a very attractive scenario when you understand that they're really, you know, they've known each other for a long, long time.
Right.
And so I think that is, that's probably an attractive scenario as opposed to, because I mean, basically his whole team got on the portal. I mean, if you go look him up on Twitter, it's like, I think it's funny because there's a lot of Kevin Costner Yellowstone memes that he kind of was, that was his Ric Flair, like Michael Jordan.
Right.
I mean, like Joey McGuire was doing with
Ric Flair. Yeah.
And I've seen other coaches do the Michael Jordan meme and stuff, whether it's the crying one or the, you know, whatever it is, when they have good news or bad news, whatever.
Yeah.
His was Kevin Costner in the Yellowstone. I didn't see any like train station memes or anything or anything like that. That'd be a bit.
Wasn't that at the Wyoming border when the train station in that show?
That's what I'm saying. Well, and have you watched a lot of Yellowstone?
I think I'm caught up to everything there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, anytime somebody went to the train station, just spoiler alert. Not good. Like, they weren't coming back, folks.
Yeah.
That was a one-way train. I would just say that. I'll let your mind wander. But, yeah, that's what he was doing. So we'll have to see what he comes up with now, Coach Linder. But, yeah, not officially announced, but I'm sure that there's, you know, the protocols and all the paperwork.
Right.
And
all he's got a stuff. Texas Tech logo as his Twitter avatar right now, so yeah. I think every sign pointing to that that's going to happen would be quite shocking if it didn't. So while we're on basketball, there's a couple of questions and we'll shift over to football and some other stuff. Andrew on Twitter asked, CL, seems like basketball recruiting has completely changed with NIL and the portal. Things that used to be important are no longer important. Now cash is king. How can Tech continue to adapt to the ever-changing landscape? And with that little caveat, Level news came out early this week that we see one of the biggest NIL deals, at least publicly, that we've seen out there. Great Osabor, who Tech was in on, the Final Three, ends up going to Washington for $2 million. So
what's really interesting about that is I was told over the weekend he's going to Louisville for $2 million. And I'm like, unbelievable. And so I think what ultimately happened, here's what I think exactly what happened, is that number was you hear numbers all the time. You never know what to believe. I'm kind of uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
You can't prove it. It's somebody's word or somebody's agent's word or somebody on the team side of things, whatever. And you're not real sure what, if you're getting good information or not. But what it tells me is that number was true, and it tells me that Washington matched it.
Yeah.
And
so he goes and plays for his former coach.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I'm uncomfortable with that number being out there publicly because – and if I was, you know, great Osabor, I wouldn't have wanted that out there in any way.
No.
Because – and if I was Washington, I wouldn't want it out there, University of – because now you've got extra pressure, extra questions, extra bullseye on your back, extra, you know, whatever, that there's no way he can live up to it. I'm just telling you right now, I don't care if he's the player of the year. There's no way he will live up to $2 million a year in this day and age, but that's kind of whoever's at fault. And maybe what will happen is in time, somebody will go, I don't know where that started, but that's not true. But I sure know that that's what number I was told over the weekend about Louisville. And then it was reported that this was the exact same number. And this is what he goes to Washington for. So I tend to believe it. But again,
it's crazy.
If you're Texas Tech, it's just not worth that.
No.
It's not worth that.
No. I think you're exactly right with the pressure that comes with it. The only thing that makes that worth that payday is if he's a national champion, right? I mean, we see that.
Well, you know, you could even say, like, if you're the, I mean, you know, if you are the national player of the year, okay. If you get your team to the Final Four, if you win a conference championship, you gotta hang a banner. You gotta hold up a trophy of some sort, whether individually or team wise. But I mean, and just in basketball, you need some other pieces around you for it to be, you know, for it to really matter. Because okay, so he averages, let's say he averages 32 a game next year. Well, a tree falls in the forest kind of deal. Okay. I mean,
and how do teammates feel about seeing that number publicly?
I agree.
Too?
That's the professional jealousy.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you pause when you use the term professional, but that's what they are.
That's what it is now. Yeah.
They're not amateurs anymore.
So to wrap back around to Andrew's question, can Tech continue to adapt to this landscape?
Yeah, Choice, you sell all the above. Yeah, you want to compete fiscally or financially, mm-hmm. be fiscally responsible, but you want to compete financially. But you try to sell the whole thing. Yeah, we can compete financially, but we can also develop you, coach you great. We can put you in front of 15,000. You're in the best league in the country. Yep. You have a passionate fan base. We kind of check all the boxes. Yeah. Don't just come here for the money. Come here for the money and all the other stuff. A lot of people are just going to sell you one of the others, but now they can't really check a lot of the boxes. And some schools can, but you know, it's about just equaling the playing field or leveling it and being involved in all aspects of what you can sell. And so I think they've tried to be very competitive on all fronts. Now you're going to also add to that, you're going to sell Adidas to these kids.
Sure.
Some may be hook, line, and sinker. Some may go, don't care. You know,
yeah.
I mean, but you feel like you have better and more to sell with Adidas than you did with Under Armour. But you try to sell passion and fan base and recent success and best league in the country and development. And we're going to coach you hard and we're going to love you hard and all that. But you also got to compete financially too. Otherwise, it's just, and some are looking for all those things. Some are looking for just one or a couple of them or, you know, whatever. But that's what you try to, that's how you try to attack it, you know, and Grant is always going to look at it from, I'm not trying to buy the fanciest store out there and recruit that person. We're not trying to bring in the guy that wants to make the most money. Even if he averages whatever points a game it is, we want fit. We want chemistry. We want our pieces to gel. We're trying to build a team. We don't want, all chips into one guy and say, hey dude, you're the scorer here. Go get us 30 a night. You know, you're not really operating that way. You want to try to put it together and then he will have the chemistry component. Because there's some guys that have visited recently that they've passed on. They have not extended a scholarship offer, or I don't think there's been an NIL conversation. I mean, it's just kind of a, let's get him here. I mean, you had one player that came in here that I think you felt really good about, and his mom rather live in a different city than where you live, than Lubbock. And so what do you do there? So there's all kinds of dynamics at play here that factoring in that didn't used to, but that's the reality of it. But you just try to level it and be competitive in all aspects. And I think, I mean, you are, but you can't win them all, right?
Right. One more basketball question that's along these lines before we roll over to some football stuff. This one is from Matthew Level. Can you give us a recap of the players we have gotten so far this offseason, and what is Texas Tech still targeting?
Well, you have, you know, I think, so let me make sure that so we don't, because it's like some of this stuff gets played out over, and make sure that we're right here on. Yeah. Okay. So you just most recently added Leon Horner. He is a scholarship guy. He's kind of a, you know, a developmental player, bring along a bit slower, not a lot of immediate expectations placed upon him. So he's kind of in one category, but the guys you brought in that I think will play and be asked to play immediately, and who you at, you had D5, you had Devin Cambridge, you had Kerwin Walton, you had Chance McMillan, and you had EY. But who you've added is you added a potential starting center in Frederico. You added your starting point guard in Elijah Hawkins, and then you added another key guard into the mix in Kevin Overton.
Right.
And so you've gotten, Elijah Hawkins is a bit smallish, but Frederico is, your 6'11 starting center. And then Kevin Overton is a 6'5 that can, I think, probably play the, if you go small, he could probably play the 3 or the 4, maybe if you needed him to. But that's why they desperately want another wing/ forward that can play the 4 and the 5, that can swing and maybe even the 3, if depending on what you find out there. So that is the primary focus. Somebody that can play a ton of forward minutes for you, that can score and rebound. And I think they're still looking for like a potential starter rotational piece, if not two. But you want size and athleticism with this. I don't think you're looking to take another guard per se, but you definitely want some length and athleticism on the wing or in the paint. And that's why, JT Toppin, Great Osabor, the kid that ended up going to Kentucky, that Andrew Carr, I think was his name.
Yeah.
Those are all kind of the same types of players. So it's pretty clear what they're still looking for. And then, like Trezarian White is a kid that visited, but I think he's going to end up at TCU because I think, according to a lot of folks, he's listed at like 6'6", 6'7", but in reality, I think he's much closer to 6'3".
Oh, wow.
I don't think I think you need the 6'7". You don't need the 6'3". And so I think that, but this is why you get people in town and you visit with them. And it's not a knock on anybody. It's just, okay, we're looking for something a bit different. And that's kind of what Grant is, I think, looking for right now. So hopefully I've answered that question there.
And I think you sit at, if just people are going for the scholarship count, I think you're at 9 scholarships.
Yeah, you got four spots left to use.
4 spots left, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to fill up all 4 spots. You'll hold at least one of those, but you want 1 to 1.5 to 2 more like pieces.
Yeah.
And depending on what you can find, I think that you're for sure going to try to take somebody that you're going to plug into a starting 5 or a 6th man or primary rotational piece that's going to suck up 20 to 30 minutes a night and do it well is what you're looking for. But I could see you also adding somebody else that is kind of got a chance to be a rotational piece and all that stuff. But you could end up doing another Leon Horner and bringing somebody with the understanding, hey, we're going to think big picture here with you. We're going to develop you and all those things. And I bet you hold a spot, but we'll just kind of see what happens.
Okay. So this question will lead us into some football stuff. This one comes from Jay. It says, Level, I saw where the Farmageddon game will at the beginning of next year will be played in Ireland. Is there any chance we ever see Texas Tech play a conference game overseas?
Like Japan playing in Tokyo against Oklahoma State back in
88, I think, yeah.
Yeah, the Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders.
Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't rule anything like that out. I don't know. I don't remember. Woodman, help me if I'm wrong here, but I don't remember whose home game that was supposed to be. I think it was Iowa State, but I'm not 100%. But I think both teams are walking away with some cash for doing that. And I want to say that the dollar figure was $2 million per program, I think. One of these schools has released this information.
Right.
And I think it was Iowa State, but I think, $2 million on top of expenses and all those things. And, some people are going to look at it and go, what are we doing? Why are we taking one of our best games, playing it across the world? What are we doing? We build this cathedral called Jack Trice. We dump a ton of money into this thing. We play Sweet Caroline. We get all this beautiful, natural grass. And we're going to play one less game on it because we wanted to go get a paycheck elsewhere. against a primary rival in a game. There's not a lot of games left in the Big 12 as it will be currently constructed that have a name attached to them. This is one of them. And you took it away from the home deal, which is that it wasn't weird to me that Iowa State and or Kansas State was playing a game in Dublin. It's that they were playing
both
the game that they play against each other, because think about it. This is like August the 24th or 23rd, a year from now, in 25. Mm-hmm. It's a conference game. It's one of whichever school was going to host it. It's one of the best home games that they would have had to sell and get fans excited about. The opposing fan base is like, well, that's one less road game that I can go to, because we were going to go, you know, I mean, there's just a lot about that game in particular that, you know, I don't look at like the game that's this September is Florida State and Georgia Tech. It's the same stadium, same classic, same branding and all that stuff. And I don't get the sense that anybody will be too upset about that one moving, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Florida State fan base is like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But I just thought, so I don't know how those conversations came up, but I just know that, look, if somebody comes knocking and you need enough money and, you know, whatever, then, you know, you would certainly consider it. Let's put it that way. You're going to have to play on Fridays. You're going to have to play on, you know, some other weeknights. And that's just going to be kind of part of the deal, as long as you want some TV money.
Yeah. It does seem like it. Obviously Brett Yormark wants to brand things and expand the footprint.
I don't think he had anything to do with this. This isn't a Big 12 decision. This is a game that they play or have been, like Notre Dame and Navy played it.
Yeah.
Like I said, Georgia Tech and Florida State are doing it.
Right.
Now you got, and they're kind of just trying to move it around a little bit. But he didn't have anything to do with it. But I mean, he won't be opposed to like spreading the Big 12 banner far and wide there.
Sure.
In Dublin. So anyway, but man, I don't know. You and I talked about this when we first heard about this, and you said, well, I think your quote was like, well, if I get to go, you know, for yeah. free, you know, ride with a team. Like,
I'm not mad at it, but.
Well, I mean, if you're John Q season ticket holder.
Exactly.
Or you're like, if you're the business across the street from the stadium and you only get so many, I mean, I'd be pissed.
Absolutely. No, I think from a average fan standpoint, it would be frustrating if you're losing a home game over it. But I mean, there's a select group of fans that have the money and the resources that probably are like, oh, this is a great trip. We'll build our vacation around it. But the majority of fans out there wouldn't get to do something like that. So, okay, moving to some more football. Let's go to the one on Twitter. Next Level is someone. This is kind of a vague question, so bear with me here. It asks from Jacob, two-parter, two veterans draftable next year. One needs to slightly change positions to increase his draft stock, but might be best where he was. What do you do? The other, let's say, might be chasing a well-deserved record. Do you sell out to get it for him? I'm going to decipher this and say we're talking about Caleb Rogers and Taj Brooks.
I need you to explain this to me like a third grader.
Like I'm a third. Okay. Yeah. Caleb Rogers might need to
dumb
change.
Dumb it down. Yeah, okay.
That's how I'm interpreting it. Caleb Rogers might need to change positions, but might be better for the team as a tackle, is what they're saying.
Okay.
Like change positions for his pro prospects. And then Taj Brooks could be your all-time leading rusher. Again, I'm trying to interpret this. Do you sell out to get that for him?
Okay, so I think if they are, for example, if they're asking about Caleb Rogers, I think that NFL folks that have come through feel like he's best served at the next level on the interior. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantees that he ever makes it past this level, though.
Right. Right.
I think that if you're Joey or you're Clay McGuire, or you're Zach Kittley, you are simply trying to figure out a way where everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I would tell you that if it was best for the team that he played at one of the tackle spots, that's where they'd put him. I mean, you see all the time, like the NFL just had a ton of offensive linemen that were drafted, and you've got NFL teams going, I'm drafting this guy. Well, he's primarily a right tackle in college. Yeah, but we're going to make him a left tackle. I mean, so I think that Joey and all that, and Clay, I mean, Caleb would be okay with it. I don't think he would be like, no, man, I want to do what's best for me. And because right. this is what, you know, I think that, yeah, you try to keep everybody on the same page there, but you do what's best for the team. So I don't know if you wouldn't like purposely go, we're going to keep you on the interior because I know that that's what's best for the NFL. If it's worse for the team, that's just not how it works. In my opinion, you would not sure. do that.
Sure. And then
the Taj Brooks thing, mm-hmm. that's also got to fit in a way with the team. And you're not going to like, there's a lot of context you would need there. Are you going to do that? I think you do everything you can to help the player set a record as long as it's not going to affect a win or a loss, as long as it's not going to affect some other things. Like if you've already won a game and put it away and you want to keep letting him carry the ball so he can eclipse it, absolutely. If you're down 28-0, you know, are you going to keep handing it to him to try to set this record? Or are you going to try to win the game? No, you're trying to win the dang game, you know? Yep. I mean, so I think ideally it's the same as the before. It's if there's a way where everybody wins, sure, but not at the expense of, like, you know, right. the result of a game or anything. Or I'm trying to think of how another player would benefit poorly from that decision. I'm trying to think of a scenario. In other words, if you were way up in a game, I could see where, like, man, we need to get our starters out of the, you know, out, and you out on the offensive line. You know, we need to rest them. You know, whatever. I could see how you'd go, man, we're just not going to do the record thing. I don't know. But
or if Cam Valdez has a super hot hand in a game and he's rolling.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, we got to get Taj his yards this game. That's not going to happen, obviously. Taj, and again, maybe I completely misinterpreted those questions, but that's how I'm reading into them.
Well,
Taj is about, I think, 1,150 yards-ish, somewhere in there. A little less than 1,200 yards from being the all-time leading rusher at Tech. So if he stays healthy, there's a good shot he'll get it.
Yeah.
So another football question. This one was from last week from Mike. Level, who do you think will be the best defensive back on this team?
The tricky part about that question is defensive back these days is a very broad term.
It is.
Because there's a lot of versatility there, that a lot of gray area. I guess I would say, like, because how did they ask? Best or most important? Or
what it says the best.
Just I would best. Probably say, if I had to, I'd give you two names, and we can if you force me to pick one, I probably would, but I'd probably tell you C.J. Baskerville or Braylon Lux. And I think I'd probably go with C.J. Baskerville as your best one. I just think there's some versatility there. He can do some things. I think he's good in coverage. He's good in the run game. He can get up close to the line of scrimmage. I just think there's a well-rounded player there. And Braylon is maybe your best corner. Although he's not perfect, but I'd probably be, if forced to choose, I'd probably tell you C.J. Baskerville, who is, by all counts, a straight-up DB. You know, he's a safety that is going to play in different spots and be moved around a bit. But that's what the answer I would give you.
What impact do we see from A.J. McCarthy, the guy that we heard a lot of his name last year, did never get eligible, the transfer from Baylor? Is he in the mix immediately?
At some level, you know, okay. I think right now he's factoring in there with, like, Brendan Jordan and Miguel Dingle at star, which is kind of that hybrid safety / linebacker, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that he factors in as part of a rotation, but you know, he'll need to be consistent, but he's got a lot of tools. I think that he didn't make as much of a splash in the spring as maybe I would have thought or hoped, or, you know, he wasn't singled out, but that may be by design. They're trying to motivate. They're trying to, but he, you know, he's been on campus now for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he has played in a game, which is crazy to me. Just running up down the field a couple times for special teams in the bowl game, to which you found out about what, 30 minutes before kick?
Yeah.
Right?
We had a knock on the door about 30 minutes before kick. Yeah.
Yeah. You can run that all the way back to West Virginia basketball player Raekwon Battle. People are going, what in the world? But yeah, the Raekwon Battle, please make me eligible. I've had, the mental health issues. Why are you punishing me? I need to be playing basketball. And so the NCAA was like, please don't sue us. Everybody's eligible.
Right.
And at that point, that included football players that had been sitting out all year. And the day or two before the bowl game, it's like,
hey.
I think he can play, you know, and it's too late to count on him for much or
factor
whatever.
In.
But yeah, they let him run up down the field on some special team stuff, I think. So
that was pretty wild.
Yeah.
A couple more names in the DBs. No, we've heard this from Coach DeRuiter a lot. Both the freshmen from last year, now sophomores, Chapman Lewis, Jordan Sanford. I think those guys will mix in quite a bit this fall. Level, last football question, then we'll wrap this one. This one was also from last week. Didn't have time to get to it. Who are the three best draft eligible players for next year? That's from Carlos.
I'm going to stay with like your seniors here. I don't know if there's anybody that would emerge I'm going to forego. I just don't know if you've got anybody that, but again, that's happened here before. Like I would have told you the season, the Pat Mahomes' last season, if you'd have told me before back in the summer that he was going to play and be a top 10 pick, I'd have been like, you're crazy. Antoine Wesley.
Hell yeah, I mean, that's the one I thought of.
I mean, there's several of them, and you're like, wow, holy cow. Well, he needs to go. I don't know if I envision that for anybody, so I'm just going to, for purposes of this question, I'm going to answer it with a lot of your seniors. I mean, Taj Brooks is obviously the most likely name, although there's no guarantees that he's picked. But there were more running backs taken in this past draft, than I would have guessed, and that probably bodes well for a guy like Taj. It would be late. We just have to understand that. Lack of overall speed, and there'll be some questions about, man, how much does he have left kind of thing. He will have some years left, but that's the problem. It's like it would just be, they would say, okay, this is a minimal. I think the other two are newcomers, and I think they do have chances to get drafted. They have measurables. They have production at the college level. They now just need to do it and be healthy and test well and all the things. But it's Josh Kelly and Jalen Conyers.
Okay.
That's what I would tell you. I mean, yeah, maybe. I just don't know if we're there yet with Caleb Rogers. I don't even know where he's going to play yet.
Right.
I'm looking at, you know, some of the other senior offensive linemen that you brought in here that are, you know, I think it didn't happen for Rusty Stotts, Cole Spencer. I think that, you know, you're kind of dealing with some of the similar type guys that don't really check a ton of measurables boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But Josh Kelly does, and he's got the production to go with it.
Sure.
I think Jalen Conyers does with some production to go with it. They just need to do it this year, test well, and all those things. But that's how I would answer. Mason Tharp is another one.
Yeah.
I think he checks all the measurables boxes. And he just, it's about availability with him. But, I mean, he's maybe the most measurables guy that's ever come through here, which is saying a lot, because it's like, dude, if you had a lab and you wanted to create a tight end, it'd come out looking like Mason Tharp, almost to the point where like the lab screwed up because they made him a bit taller and bigger than is real, you know, but that's what Mason Tharp is. And he is the nicest kid ever.
Yeah.
I mean, most respectful, great teammate. I mean, all that stuff, but that's how I would answer that. So a lot of offensive skill positions.
Yeah. I said last one a second ago. One more last one. I forgot to get to this one. That's from Corey. Saw Ty Kanya. Kanna? I'm bad with that name. Kanna. Oh, for two. Kanna went in the portal. Is this a big loss at all for Tech?
No, I mean, no offense against Ty, but like he hadn't factored in at all. What wasn't really on the travel squad, hadn't been just and plays the maybe one of the deepest positions on your team. I think when somebody like John Curry comes in and as a redshirt freshman already passes up guys that are now going to be sophomores and juniors that have been on campus for a year or three.
Sure.
That's I mean. So you've got like those interior backer spots. You've got Ben and Jacob as the starters, and you've got John Curry and Bryce Ramirez behind them. A pretty salty little quartet there, man. A lot of football IQ, a lot of toughness, a lot of athleticism, a lot of size.
Not much playing time left over.
I mean, just it's just not. And so that's kind of I mean, didn't surprise me. And did I? I mean. He's passed the portal window, but has left the program. I mean, kind of weird deal there.
Yeah, it is weird.
So,
Unless his name went in earlier and
it
didn't
was
happen.
yeah, it wasn't reported, but I missed that if
I
true.
hadn't seen it either. So, all right, level. Good stuff as usual. Appreciate you giving us some time, and we'll do it again next week. I like the
ELE Woodman,
ELE.
heart emoji. Yeah, thank you to Cantex Roofing. Appreciate the time, everybody. We will do this again for a few more weeks, and then we'll maybe kind of take a little bit of time off when things get really, really quiet in June, and then pick it back up as long as they'll have us, man.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
Fun
that's
stuff.
right.
That's Chris Lovell. I'm Choice Woodman. It's been the Ask Lovell podcast brought to you by Double T 97.3.
You've been listening to the Ask Lovell podcast, powered by Double T 97.3.